Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. And we're going to talk about the Word of God and what He was trying to tell us. We talk about the Bible being the Word of God, but when I read the book, I see something far different than what I was taught when I was attending seminary back in 1962. And I think it's not any better today. I think it's probably worse today. They have steadily, for the last 1,000 years, changed our view of the Bible, changed our view of the Gospels, changed our view of the Old Testament. And they have done this very cleverly. They have done it under a great guise of holiness. And we've fallen for it. I see the same process going on today in the modern governments where they have changed the way you view history. History, your memory, the past, is a construct of your mind. And your mind is heavily influenced by what people tell you is true. I was shocked when I discovered that I did not know who men like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson were. I had read about them in history books, but history books are opinions of men who give opinions based on what the next grant will allow. If you're giving out grants that to men who have the same opinion as you, before you know it, all the books have the same opinion as the men with the money. And the men with the money end up with more money because you never learn the message of the gospel. I mean, the guy who helped Gutenberg print the first Bible, he was martyred by these men. They accused him of witchcraft because he was printing so many darn Bibles. And they didn't want you to read it. And they suddenly knew that they couldn't do anything about it, that you were going to read it. It was getting around. So what they had to do is work twice as hard at distorting what you think it says. And they've been very good at it. And along comes us, these little guys out in the middle of the nowhere. And start writing down, you know, this word doesn't mean that. What they say it means. Actually, it does mean what they say it means. In a lot of cases. You just never look up the meaning in the concordance. You know, there's a lot of examples. The word world, the word God. I really should do a whole show just on the word Elohim. What it originally meant. Both in a physical sense and a spiritual sense, and why it means what it means in a physical sense, in a spiritual sense. What does it mean in a physical sense? It means ruling judge. All the magistrates were called gods in Hebrew and both in Rome. They were the ruling judges. But what did it mean in a spiritual sense? Well, who rules you? Who rules your mind? Who rules your heart? People tell you this is so. You know, there's a Santa. And you believe them. But you're only 7 years old. So what do you think? You're maybe 5. You're maybe 4. So what do you think? Your parents are telling the truth. But then you discover they're not telling the truth. But you're older. And you accept it. But now you're what? 20? 27? 37? 38? 42? How old are you now? What do you believe that isn't true? That's the biggest problem. What did Mark Twain say? At least it was attributed to Mark Twain. It was also attributed to a plumber that he knew. It's not so much what a man knows, it's not so much what a man doesn't know, but what a man knows absolutely for sure that just ain't so. And that's what we're dealing with when it comes to the Word of God. Because so many people think, oh, it means this, and oh, it means that. And they They have a modicum of religion that they have been taught. And they don't really know what it means. They don't really know what it is saying. And when you try to tell them, oh, I mean, it's like you've attacked them. All you're doing is sharing with them the witness of what you know and what you see. If you're wrong, they should be able to come and say, well, no, that's not what it says here. This is what it says. But no, they say, this is what I think it says. But they don't say, I think. This is what it says, they say. But it's really only what they think it says. They don't bring any proof. They don't look at the Greek. They don't look at the Hebrew. Or they look a little bit at it, but then they don't look at all the other places in the Bible that it says something to the contrary. I mean, when I tell people the Bible is a book about government, people go, no, 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 it's about religion. What was Nimrod? What was Cain's first city-state? And Lamech, oppressing people. Was that religion or was that government? What was Egypt? What was Caesar? What was Saul? Aren't these governments? What was Moses leading people out of one government and saying, here's another form of government? I wrote somebody last night and said that he says, oh, you can't have a free government under natural law. It's impossible. It never was. I says, well, you got to have in order to have a government, he says, you have to have taxes. I says, well, Israel didn't. He says, show me a site. The whole darn Bible, first 400 years. There were no taxes. It was a little tiny token that you had to pay to kind of ante up, to say, yeah, I'm a part of this. Go on record. Just a tiny little token, like a little ring, a penny. We do the same thing when we create congregations of record. You have to give a token to say, you know, and we really should be saying they have to give that token every year. That's what it said in the Bible. I never really thought about it. But really, they should give that token every year. We should say, you have to give a dime. Your dues is one dime a year. Or the equivalent thereof. And then we know that you really are serious. Or at least, you're still thinking about being serious. Serious is when you give half of everything you have. That's serious. And you don't give it to me, you give it to your local congregation, and your local congregation uses it for the good of everybody in it because you love one another. What's the big deal? I mean, we've got millions of people sending money way off to some preacher thousands of miles away who's never going to do anything for them except tell them more words. That's fine to support preachers. Fine to do that. They need your support probably. But what are you doing? What are you doing to show your love for one another? Are you gathering together? Or are you going to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other? That's what Cain did. That's what Nimrod did. That's what Pharaoh did. That's what Caesar did. But that's not what Christ did. And that's not what he told you to do. When I was getting ready for this program, I was thinking, oh, what am I going to write it on? You know, I go to save the audio file. And I think, oh, what do I call this? And I just put down Word of God. What is the Word of God? You know, actually, I looked up a bunch of quotes in the Bible to see what he says about a number of different things. And I got Matthew 5:39 here. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, we actually have an article coming out on News with Views called Unarmed and Dangerous. It talks about the fact that you should be armed. Well, why should you be armed if you're going to turn the other cheek? Because we're not talking about somebody slapping you in the cheek. We're talking about somebody murdering your children, murdering your wife, murdering your whole neighborhood, killing you all. Aren't you willing to risk your life to protect their life? If you're not, you shouldn't call on somebody else to risk their life to protect your life. You shouldn't be allowed to call the police unless you arm. The right to bear arms for years and years and years meant the responsibility to bear arms. If you would not arm yourself, if there was danger and they called a hue and cry to come out and face that danger and you fled, you might not be allowed back in the community when you come back. What does it mean to be allowed into the community? Now, if you own land, they really shouldn't take that land away. They really shouldn't tar and feather you like they often did. They really shouldn't do that. But they should stone you. Now, what do I mean by stone? Do I mean hit you with rocks? No. The ministers of their congregations of 10 families were stones, living stones, same as it was in the first century church. And if you were a coward, you did not work, you did not contribute to the whole of community, that stone should know that you are not a contributor. You are not a forgiver. You are not a giver. And neither should you receive. In other words, no social welfare for you. So whatever people paid in, it would not come to you when your time of need came. Or if it did, it would come in very small amounts because that's all you gave was very small amounts of yourself. Self-regulating societies do this all the time. Now, they may be forgiving and make sure that you don't actually starve to death, but you will not have as nice accommodations. Now, the world has another system. They force everybody to give, and their ministers exercise authority one over the other, and their ministers take from you to provide for the needy of their society. And they got you to sign up for such a system because they offered it. We will force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. Everybody will have to give who becomes a member of this system of Corvee. It was really presented as a system of Corbin. But it was also a system of Corvee. Now you probably don't know what those words mean. You lack knowledge. And yea, but for the lack of knowledge, maybe you would know what the Bible is really talking about. It's talking about real love. Love in action. Corban is the word for sacrifice. Everybody in the community, in the congregations of 10, were expected to sacrifice, but they sacrificed according to the service of their minister. They picked the minister based on his ability to come and serve one another, because they also wanted to serve one another. They came to serve because they had the character of God. Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun, it actually says S-U-N, to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. How will you fend off that evil? How will you fend off that rain? Will you come like his son, Jesus Christ? How did Jesus come? To rule over his neighbor? To rule over you? Or did he come to serve? If you're reading the Bible at all, you need to gather together to serve. You don't go to church because it makes you feel good. You go to church because it's your opportunity to do good, to be of service. But you've got churches out there saying, oh, you don't have to do anything. They actually tell you that. They base it on a handful of quotes taken out of context. But you want to believe that's true. And so you let them get away with that. I don't intend to let them get away with that. If you tell me you believe, but you aren't doing what Christ said, you're a liar. You have taken his name in vain. Your belief is a lie. It's false. It's what you want to believe. It's not the truth. Matthew 6:1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. What was going on then? Your alms were a payment in to the scribes who recorded them, and it was a compulsory payment because you had entered into a system of Corban, a system of sacrifice, where you had to pay in and you were guaranteed benefits if you had need. Meeting statutory requirements set down by the Sanhedrin. That was your Corban. That was your social welfare. But that welfare was a snare, as Paul says. They don't tell you, Paul says, that the welfare was a snare when he quotes David, who said the same thing. They don't tell you about that because they've already let you get caught in that snare. Because they say, if you have a need, go to the men who exercise authority one over the other, but call themselves benefactors. But they aren't benefactors. They are men who exercise authority and take from your neighbors so that you can have these benefits. Over and over again in the Bible, it tells you not to do that, not to be that way. Put a knife to your throat when you sit with men who exercise authority one over the other, because they serve you deceitful benefits. But you've gone and done it because you've listened to these wolves in sheep's clothing, these ignorant pastors who do not know the gospel of the kingdom. Oh, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, and they deny the possibility of that power living in you. Because they say you have to do nothing, but Christ said you had to do all kinds of stuff. What I did was I looked up everywhere it says that ye. That's all I did, is look everywhere in the Bible where it says that ye. You know how many times it says that in the Bible? Hundreds, hundreds, hundreds of times. Matthew 6:1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. In other words, when you join the system of Corban set up by Herod, the system of Corban of the Pharisees that made the word of God to none effect according to Christ, your alms were recorded. And your reward was guaranteed by men who exercise authority. So you're not going to get your reward in the kingdom of heaven. You've already got your reward, your social security payment. That's it. That's all you get. You have decided to live by the sword of those men who exercise authority one over the other, those benefactors who are not benefactors, but men of authority who only take from others. It was socialism that Herod had set up. It was being set up the same way in Rome. It wasn't that way from the beginning, but it had become that way. They had a system of Corban, identical, run through their temples, identical. Herod even built the temple of Roma, doing the same exact thing. For those who wanted to use this name, Roma, instead of Yahweh. And he would have built ones that want to say Jehovah. And he would have built ones that want to say whatever. But he wasn't going to build them according to the character of God, which is based on free will choice. The fellow who thought, oh, there's never been a government that operated by free will choice. It's right there in the biblical text over and over and over again. Free will offering, free will offering, free will peace offering. The first time an offering was forced was Saul. And Samuel came in and said, your kingdom will not stand because you have done this foolish thing. And you all do it every day. You force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. You will not get the reward of your Father in heaven. And how many times did he say, go and cry out to the gods, the Elohims which you have chosen for yourself, those men in black who sit up there and say, you have to give. You chose that. Now you have to pay. I'm not saying stop paying your taxes. I'm saying start seeking the righteous ways of Christ. That's what he said. He didn't say get out of the system. Eventually, after way at the end in Revelation, it says, be ye not partakers of their sins. Partakers, what does that mean? It doesn't mean don't pay in. It means don't take out. But I know you have to take out. Many of you are bound in this system now. But you need to start working for righteousness. You need to start working for a way in which you can be separate. I just read about an intentional community that's starting up. Universal something or other trust. I haven't looked at their documents yet, but they're talking about separating from governments and going under natural law. I don't know if they have any idea what they're doing. But of course, that's exactly what the early church did. But they had a right to do it. And the fact is, if you return to Christ and start doing what he said, you have a right to do it too. But you've got to return first. Don't set sail till you've built the boat. You've got to do the labor, the work. That's what the Israelites were doing when they were in the bondage of Egypt for years under plagues and difficulties. You have not received those plagues yet, but they are coming. You need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You need to come together with the intention to serve others, to sacrifice in righteousness for the welfare of others, and stop sacrificing your neighbors by asking men who exercise authority to take away from your neighbor so that you may feel secure. You have followed a way that is the antithesis of Christ. You're worried about the Antichrist coming? You are the Antichrist. Now, maybe you have been seduced into that. Maybe you have been fooled into that. He said a strong delusion would come, and even the very elect would be deceived. But you have been deceived. But now maybe you're waking up. Maybe you're hearing that the people worried about America becoming a socialist nation. It's been a socialist nation for over 150 years. Public school is socialism. Social Security is socialism. 1933, public schools, what was it, 1854? Oh, they had a few around. Most of them were not entirely supported by funds. They were supported partly by funds from governments, places like Massachusetts. But even until the 1900s, most of the people educated in America were by far educated by private means, not by public schools. And you had most of the people having a certain idea about responsibility. But today, almost everybody is educated by public schools. And those that are not, their grandparents and are taken care of by Social Security, public dole. Social Security is the public dole. You say, I have paid in. You paid in for the needy at the time you were working. Now you make those who work today pay in for you. And you do so by asking men who exercise authority one over the other to go out to your neighbor's house and force them at gunpoint to pay in to you. And if they don't join your club, you ostracize them from every avenue of commerce according to public law. Title 42, Section 666. You've been deceived. Now, that's okay. God is forgiving. I'm forgiving. As God will give me the power. Repent, turn around, start coming together for the purposes of God the Father to set men free in the perfect law of liberty by faith, hope, and charity. That's where you need to go, and we'll show you how to get there. We'll show you the way. We'll show you his truth and his light. But you must turn. You must turn and go the other way.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about the Word of God. What was the good word, the good news? What was He really trying to tell you? He was trying to tell you to do something. And that's why over and over again you see in the Bible, that ye may, that ye do this, that ye do that. If I go to the book Thy Kingdom's Come, in the back we have an appendix there, and we cover different words like consent and commandments and how the Bible treats these words. But there's one word, doeth, that shows up over and over and over again. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And in Matthew 7:26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Remember the foolish virgins who went off and did their own thing and burnt their oil that was given to them until there was not enough oil, and then they wanted in, and they knocked on the door, and God did not let them in. The master did not let them in. How many of you are foolish virgins? You have been paying your oil into the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. You should not have been doing that, but you have. And when your time of need comes, God will say, go and cry unto them. You see, I'm not going to give you the message, oh, just accept Jesus and then he just loves you and he's just going to save you. He says he's not even going to let the foolish virgins in. Get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity. He says to all kinds of people who say, oh, yeah, we're Christians. We've done all these great things. He says, get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity. What are the workers of iniquity? Those that did not do what he said. He said you are not to be like the benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. You are to take care of one another through the free will offerings of Moses and the free will offerings of the early church that takes care of one another through love. If you don't, you will have a different kind of society that does not care, that cowers before danger, that does not put its life on the line for its brother because it's never even put a dollar on the line for its brother. It has lost the grace of God because it did not have grace for one another. All it had was the sword, the point of the sword, getting tribute. Your whole system of government is based on the Antichrist message of Cain and Nimrod and the wicked Pharaoh and the evil Caesars. And you sit there and think it's okay to take from my neighbor as long as I feel safe. That's a lie. You are not safe. You are in the unrighteous mammon. Jesus says in Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. What is in your treasury in the nation where you live? Nothing but debt. Nothing but debt. Your entire economic systems in one country after another is based on debt, and you think you're practicing capitalism. Capitalism, you own your land, you own your labor, and you have capital value that you invest. You don't invest value anymore, you invest debt. You've gone so far from the kingdom. It's unimaginable. It's not that thieves and robbers might break in and steal. What? There's nothing there but debt. You've already lost. You're already in bondage. You're already under a strong delusion. You're already the Antichrist. The beast is risen up and you are he. Repent. Turn around. Go the other way. You're like the prodigal son. His father would have forgiven him, but not until he turned around and came back to serve. You can't serve enough to pay for the debt. You can't get out of that debt. You're in bondage. These people wanting to go off and start intentional communities and say, I have broken all my ties with the governments of the world. Have they agreed to that? Where is that fellow going who says that in that intentional community I mentioned earlier in the show? I won't mention it again because I haven't researched them enough. But where is he taking you? He's taking you down to the shores of the Red Sea and he's telling you you're free. The problem is the armies of the Pharaoh are going to come down on you with everything they have. And I have to ask you, is the power of God going to stand between you and them? Not if you have not come in the name of the Father. Now, what does it mean to come in the name of the Father? Come with his character, to serve, to give life, to give up your life. Yes, so that you may have life more abundant, but by His means. Not taking away from your neighbor, not coveting your neighbor's goods, his sweat, his toil. Every government in the world today is predicated on the idea that it's okay to take from your neighbor to provide you with social welfare. And people can't even imagine a society that would operate by faith, hope, and charity. They can't even imagine it. They say, oh, you're looking for some kind of utopia. Sure, why not? I want to be practical about it, but that's what I'm looking for. The utopia called the kingdom of God. And His righteousness is required to find it. His virtue must flow through you. How do we know it is? It's got to start somewhere. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, He says, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. How do you do that? How do you lay up those treasures? You gather together and give to one another in righteousness, to strengthen one another, to raise up one another in righteousness and virtue. And if your neighbor is not virtuous, don't strengthen him in his sloth. Don't support him in his wickedness. Rebuke him. As many as I love, I also rebuke. You are being lazy. If you don't get up and start doing more, I'm not going to help you out. You can stay here in the gutter and wait for the men who call themselves benefactors and exercise authority, because you keep doing the same thing over and over again. But if you want to change and turn around and work and strive and struggle to seek the kingdom, then come. I will help you. I will help you up. And we will be brothers in Christ. Where is your treasure? Is it in Fort Knox? I doubt it. Where is it? Where could it possibly be? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. Single in its ways, in the ways of God, the ways of service, the ways of giving, the way of forgiving. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Where are you looking for your salvation? Where are you looking for your security? If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. When I talk about socialism being the antithesis of Christ, oh, they hate that. They hate that. But you cannot be a socialist and the follower of Christ. You cannot say, I am going to force my neighbor to take care of my welfare needs and the welfare needs of my society. I'm going to force him at the point of a gun by hiring men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. And say also that you believe in Christ. They are not compatible. Verse 25, therefore I say unto thee, take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now, he's not saying don't plow the fields and don't put up grain. and don't store food? Certainly you should do that. He's saying stop worrying about it to the point where you are willing to covet your neighbor's goods in order to make sure there's enough there. I can tell you right now, there isn't enough there. There will only be enough there by divine intervention. You've gone so far from the kingdom, there is no salvation without God now. It will take a miracle. But he's told you over and over again, if you go the ways of Saul's and Pharaoh's and Caesar's, I will not hear you. And you have all gone that way. Now, I know some of you have thought, I want to teach my kids at home. Great, that's a good kingdom sign. I know others who pay their taxes and think, well, we need to pay the taxes because we need to support people, we need to help the elderly, and this is the way to do it because it's the only way to do it because your churches aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be taking care of them through faith, hope, and charity. Until then, you may have to pay your tally of bricks, but start gleaning in the field to take care of your own benefits. And start gathering together so you can be a benefactor to each other that does not exercise authority. Which of you, by taking your worry, can add one cubit unto your stature? Why take you thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. This is what he's talking about. You want the covering of the state? They are filthy garments. Now, I know you're bound in that system. I know you can't get out of your own. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about coming together and gathering together to be of benefit to others. God will not come to your aid unless you do that. Because unless you do that, you do not believe in Christ because he came to aid, to serve. You need to turn around. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He said we weren't to be like the Gentiles, the other nations, who have their benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. Once you understand this is a common theme, go back to John the Baptist. Go back to understand that Herod was baptizing people into the kingdom of heaven. He was bringing them into a social welfare system by signing them up through baptism and scribes who wrote down their name, and they were having to pay in a certain amount based on statutory requirements and their own personal income. They would pay that in. They would actually go out to your grain fields and measure them, knowing that one-tenth had to go into this coffer, and another tenth to this, and another tenth to that. Had to go in, and they would measure it out because they were scribes, they were accountants. That's what Herod was setting up through baptism, but John the Baptist was out there saying, No, we have another system. We have another intentional community out here by law doing something different. If one of ours has no coat, we will give him one from our own personal coat. If we have two, we will share, so that he will have one and we will have one. That is the treasure of the kingdom. Who holds the key to the treasury of the kingdom of God? You do, if you will pick it up. Christ didn't just give the keys to the kingdom to Peter. He gave them to all of us. Whatever you do on earth, it is already recorded in heaven. If you do not give to others, you will not be given to. If you will not forgive others, you will not be forgiven. If you will not come together to serve others, nobody will come and serve you in your hour of need. But if you will come to serve others, God will send somebody to serve you, even if the one that you served is no more there. He will have somebody come out of nowhere suddenly and say, I'll help you. Because God is working in this world through men and women who serve Him by serving others. That is the kingdom of heaven. And that's why he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought of the morrow. How many of you are always searching the scriptures to know what the future will bring? Why do you think he encrypted it? It's not important. What's important is that you live in the moment. The past is a construct of your own mind. The future is outside of your control. The only thing you can do anything about is the presence. And is God present in your presence? Is he with you? He cannot abide in a selfish person. He cannot abide in an unforgiving heart. He cannot abide in a greedy soul who taketh away the life of others. His ways is sufficient unto the day. His ways will protect you from the evil. This is the way of Christ. This is the way of the kingdom of God, which is at hand. Will you follow that way? Or will you go another way? The way of the world. One of those words you need to understand the meaning of. Matthew 9:6, but that ye may know that the Son of God hath power on earth to forgive sins, ye saith he to the sick and the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. We are living in a zombie apocalypse. And the zombies are those who want to devour you. They have no soul. They think there's nothing wrong with taking from their neighbors. They vote for bills that will tax the widows and orphans with inheritance tax. And they say, yeah, but we need more money in our coffers. They are zombies. They are the zombie apocalypse of today. You need to go another way. You need to go according to the ways of Christ. You need to turn around and he will breathe life in you, zombies. And you will stop devouring your neighbor and he will give you strength from within, because that is where the kingdom starts. That is what you must do. That is what you must seek. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? He's talking about their system of social welfare, their Corban of the Pharisees that makes the word of God to none effect. They puff you up with pride, but they turn you into arrogant zombies that will devour your neighbors' houses and devour their being with your wantonness. We need more. We need more. And you've done this now for year upon year, decade upon decade, until you are in debt. And you say to the gods which you have chosen, get us out of debt. And they say, no. They continue to drag you down and bleed you dry. You are dry. Now they are sucking the flesh out of you. They are eating your children of tomorrow because they are so greedy for gain. They are so greedy for comfort. They did not come to serve, but to exercise authority one over the other. And they are there because you put them there. You put them there through your sloth and through your own greed. And you who will not repent will be swallowed up and devoured. And there's nothing I can do about it. But for those of you who will repent and turn around and seek the ways of Christ, you need to actually start gathering together in earnest. You need to stand up and say, I will gather with you. I will do what I can. You do not pledge to us, you pledge to the Father in heaven. And you seek his ways. But you're not doing that. So many of you are not doing that. You need to turn around. You need to repent. And then you can be baptized both in water and in fire. Because fire is coming. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake unto you not concerning bread? How is it that you did not understand that? Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. He's talking about these little ones, these children, as well as the children of God and the brothers of God who seek God's and sacrifice all so that you may have life more abundant. They give of their life. They come to serve. What preachers come to serve other than himself? He is not preaching to you the hard truths that you need to know, the whole truth, so that you can provide for it. Provide for it how? By providing for others. How can you provide for others unless you come together? In Matthew 19:28, he says, And Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the generation when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, and ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. How do we judge? Well, I thought we were to judge not. What is he talking about? If some will do righteousness, judgment will come for those who refuse to do righteousness. It's built into the nature of the system. This intentional community talking about the law of nature. Do they really understand the law of nature? If they did, they would really understand the gospel when they heard it. And I know they may not have heard it. But you're hearing it here on Keys of the Kingdom. And we will continue with every breath to preach to you the gospel of the kingdom. And we will do that again in the next show of Keys of the Kingdom. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.